Josh Bell hates everything.
That's right, including your movie.
Josh Bell hates everything.
Except me.
Hello and welcome to the Josh Bell Hates Everything podcast. I'm Josh Bell, film editor for Las Vegas Weekly. And joining me is Lynn Camella, assistant professor of women's studies at UNLV and columnist for Las Vegas Weekly. Thank you for being here.
Oh, my pleasure.
So in honor of Valentine's Day, what we're talking about this time is our favorite movie sex scenes. And I think Valentine's Day is predictably the time to talk about romance in movies and romantic comedies, and all that stuff is great. But I think sex scenes are maybe an underappreciated element in film. So we're going to talk a little bit about our picks for the best sex scenes in movies. But I want to also talk about, what do you think sort of makes for a good movie sex scene? What are your criteria for a sex scene that you'll enjoy?
Well, that's a really good question, and certainly one I had to think about as I was doing this assignment, and I kind of approached it as an assignment because it gave me a chance to think about films I had seen that had left a kind of mark on me for having something of a memorable sex scene. So, you know, I can tell you that in the process of choosing films, I eliminated some things that I rewatched, and that was kind of interesting because it allowed me to think about, okay, I really don't, you know, even if it's a hot sex scene, I kind of don't like it if the character is just, you know, has no redeeming qualities whatsoever and
right.
is pretty despicable. It's hard
right.
for me to really kind of enjoy or like or walk away. So I think that for me, I have to feel something for the character, whether it's liking them, whether it's empathizing with them, whether you know, it's having some sense of a connection to the character in the film that the scene involves. So I think that likability factor, I realized, and I don't think I would have thought about that necessarily. And, you know, I do tend to really appreciate sex scenes that don't feel gratuitous. And what I mean by that, and this might become apparent on the list a little bit, is when sex or sexual relationships are kind of woven into the plot of a film.
Right.
It really feels, it has a very different quality to me. And I think those scenes stick with me because there's a centrality that they have to the film itself, as opposed to like a one-off scene that happens because, you know, two people got drunk one night and ended up just falling into bed and falling into each other.
Right.
So I think those are some of my qualities. Right. But
Do you think, like, you mentioned likability. What about, is it important for the characters to like each other or for them to be in love or whatever? Or can we enjoy sex scenes where the characters are sort of at odds with each other?
I definitely think so. I mean, I think so because I think that depending on the degree to which characters might be at odd with each other, what ends up happening? I mean, I think really hot sex scenes on film and in real life kind of involve a kind of push and pull dynamic. You know, I mean, there's different degrees of power in relationships, but I would say that, you know, any relationship, even one that seems innocuous, is going to have some kind of power dynamic or element. So I think that, you know, characters who might not really like each other might still gravitate toward each other in a sexual way. And hopefully they like each other enough to have, you know, some kind of physicality. But I think it can make for an interesting scene because there can be an interesting dynamic that, you know, emerges.
Right. One of the things I noticed when I was sort of trying to put together a list for this is that, and I just did this mostly kind of off the top of my head, like things that had stuck with me over time, that there wasn't really anything that came to mind that was sort of a standard, like people in a normal relationship, tender, nice love scene. I ended up picking all these things that were sort of twisted or deviant in some way. And I don't know, I wonder if that's maybe part of what, like, you expect if characters are married and they have a nice relationship, they're going to have, you know, a nice tender moment at some point, but that's not memorable as opposed to these moments that are a little weird or off in some way.
No, that's an interesting point because, I mean, I chose, like, one of the scenes on my list, you know, involves a married couple, and I really liked it because it had a very kind of youthful, playful quality to it, which I don't think is often depicted amongst married people because you expect them to be suffering from some degree of bed death and a kind of staid sex life. And yeah, so I think that those tend to not work as well. And, you know, I'm even trying to think of memorable sex scenes outside of like the one I chose that involves married people. I mean, they don't really kind of...
I think maybe there's sort of a level of taboo or illicitness or whatever that like gets us more riled up. So, okay, so let's move on and let's talk about the specific scenes that we want to mention. And I didn't do this, my list, in any sort of order, but I know you sort of ranked yours.
I did. You know, I did a little bit of ranking. I'm not quite sure why, but it ended up that
Lists and ranks are always good. I think that's fine. So if we want, maybe we can count down, and I'll just do mine in any sort of order. So if you want to start with your number five scene, tell us about that.
Sure. Well, I chose a scene from Last Tango in Paris with Marlon Brando. And, you know, that film is often talked about for the sex that it involved, particularly in the era that it was made in 1972. And the scene that's often referenced is this butter scene. That's the shorthand for the scene. But I'm actually not choosing the film because of that scene. The scene that really stood out to me with that film is about two-thirds, maybe halfway to two-thirds of the way through the film, when Marlon Brando, playing a character named Paul, turns to his young Parisian lover and says, "I want you to cut the fingernails on your right hand, and then basically I want you to put your fingers up my ass." And it's a really interesting scene for me because of the request that he's making, because the year the film was made. And I think it works in a really interesting way, and I kind of appreciate it.
Yeah. I mean, the thing about Last Tango, and obviously Last Tango in Paris is a very popular movie to cite in terms of the sexuality and the time period.
This is my, like, you know, uber predictable one.
Right.
No, and I'm not. I had to have one uber predictable one. So.
And I'm not trying to criticize. I just think for me, the thing about that movie in general, and not just the sex scenes, is that it's so much about just Marlon Brando being this kind of weird guy and improvising all sorts of stuff that I can never get into them as characters in that movie. And I just think of Marlon Brando like, off the top of his head, kind of coming up with the stupidest possible weird thing that he could say. Yeah, and I don't know. It just takes me out of it. And for me, I think, and maybe that's one thing that comes up in these scenes, especially ones that are sort of unconventional, is that if you're really involved in the characters and involved in the story, then you can go along with any sort of odd thing that they do. But if it rings false to you in some way, then it takes you out of it right away.
No, I definitely agree. And I'll tell you, you know, the thing that's interesting to me about that film, and I just recently rewatched it, and I have to say I enjoyed it. You know, I saw it kind of, you know, for the first time, you know, only just a few years ago. I had resisted it for a really, really long time.
Right.
I was like, everybody loves it. It has to be bad. And, you know, but I actually really, really enjoyed it the first time I saw it. I enjoyed it less when I watched it recently. But I do think there's an interesting kind of sexual dynamic that comes out in Brando's character, in that, you know, there's something interesting that happens, I think, when kind of grief is overlaid with desire.
Mm-hmm.
And I think there's something, that kind of intersection that I feel his character resides in is an interesting kind of intersection for me. That kind of, you know, his wife has just killed herself. He, you know, ends up having this liaison with this stranger. And it's just kind of interesting how he vacillates between kind of being between these moments of kind of grief and this, you know, particular version of desire that's acted out.
Right, right. Yeah, I mean, I haven't seen it in a while, but I guess I think like you, maybe it was one of those that had such a great reputation that it didn't reach me. But obviously, yeah. It reaches a lot of people. So my first pick, and again, I don't know, I'm just going to kind of pick these at random, but speaking of deviant behavior, my pick is Crash by David Cronenberg from 1996, which is full of all sorts of weird sexual moments. And probably the most infamous, but I think the most exciting maybe, is James Spader and Rosanna Arquette, and they're these car crash fetishists, and she also has... She's got these sort of leg braces, and she's injured herself multiple times, and she has this sort of open scar on her leg that is very vaginal looking. And they have sex, but not in a conventional way. And he penetrates the leg wound, which is, it just sounds so, so ridiculous. But I think, again, maybe that goes back to being involved in the world of the movie, that you really believe these characters are so turned on by this really odd sort of thing, and the intensity of their feelings in that moment really brings you there, I think, to buying into it. And you can see how this sort of strange thing for them is just about the hottest thing you can possibly imagine. So I like that about it.
I've actually not seen that film, which I know people kind of, their eyes get wide when I say that. So I'll have to add it to my queue of DVDs to watch. Because I know I've heard about it, and people have always been really surprised I haven't seen it. But that, your description of the scene is compelling.
Yeah, there's a lot of stuff like that where you think like something that you would not ever imagine to really be sexual, and they manage to make it very, very sexual and very sensuous in that movie, which... is, again, something that I appreciate. So what is your number four pick?
Number four. I chose Short Bus. So that was 2006. John Cameron Mitchell directed it. And the reason why it made it onto my list, couple of reasons. But I really appreciated the fact that, sexual diversity across sexual orientation really figured prominently in the film. And, I liked the visual representation of the sex club where, a majority of the film takes place, and these kind of multi-partner couplings and different kinds of bodies coupled together. So I liked the kind of polymorphous perversity of the film. And I also liked that voyeurism was a big part of the film, there's this line in the film where when the character of the sex therapist visits this sex club or this sex party for the first time, she's told, watch, voyeurism is a form of participation. So I like the film it's not my most favorite film, but in terms of thinking about sex, I think it does something interesting. But I would say the scene that really stands out to me, and there, a couple of fun scenes in the, three men having a threesome, and, one of them starts to sing the Star Spangled Banner up his ass. But the opening scene has a really, really interesting masturbation scene with a man who's kind of alone, and his legs are over his head, and I'll let listeners use their imagination to, but it's an interesting film because there's a rated R version, and then there's, an unrated version. So, the unrated version is really interesting. And I noticed that, in the unrated version, much like porn shoots, all of the kind of actors on the film set had to sign the 2257 forms, which basically is the legal documentation stating that you are of age to perform in that. So, the unrated version is an interesting version to watch.
Yeah, that's definitely the better version. I mean, and that's one of the few movies where there's actual penetration and it's actually, everything is very real.
It's very real.
Which was what, and I think honestly that the sex is about the only thing that I like about that movie, because as a movie, as drama, I think it's pretty weak.
Yeah, I agree.
But yeah, there's a lot of interesting sex. So you think we can count a masturbation scene as a sex scene?
Absolutely. Oh yeah, I didn't even think there was a question about that.
All right.
Yes.
I was busy looking for scenes with multiple people in
them. Oh yeah, sex with oneself. And yeah. I would argue.
That's, okay, that's my fair enough. Opinion. Fair
sex
enough.
Sex with oneself, I think, should be in the mix of kind of what counts or what should count as like a valid scene to consider.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Well, all of my scenes involve multiple people, but that is absolutely valid. My next pick is Original Sin, which is sort of a not very well-regarded movie or very well-known, but I think it, first of all, is extremely underrated. It's this super, super campy melodrama with Angelina Jolie and Antonio Banderas, where she plays this mail-order bride, and he's a 19th-century Cuban, some sort of import-export dealer or something like that, and she's got all these secrets, and it's ridiculously convoluted, but it's very entertaining. It has got loads of explicit sex, mm-hmm. and it's, I think Angelina Jolie these days is so known for being this serious humanitarian, and I mean, obviously she's known for being really, really attractive, but also for just being kind of not all that fun anymore. Mm-hmm. And this is back earlier in her career where all she was known for really was being really, really attractive. Mm-hmm. And so she takes her clothes off all the time in this movie, which is obviously very appealing. and she has some pretty hot scenes with Antonio Banderas, but Thomas Jane is also in this movie who plays this sort of figure from her past who's out to get her. And of course, they also have a sexual relationship. And the scene I picked is between them where it's very much the sort of tension between hating each other and being really attracted to each other. And he actually cuts her at one point with a knife and kind of licks the blood up. And it's very deviant and kinky, but it's clear that they're like the antagonism between them is really what turns them on the most. Mm-hmm. And I like that. I mean, and that happens between her and Antonio Banderas' character as well, because he finds out her secrets or whatever. And that really gives an extra charge, I think, to the sex scenes in this movie.
Yeah, so. That's really interesting. And I have to say, you know, I think that antagonism is a good way to describe it. And I certainly, you know a handful of couples where I just think, God, you know, how are you two still together? You just seem like you hate each other. You're always at each other's throats. And, you know, it probably works in some way behind closed doors to, you know, that antagonism kind of can add a charge, I would imagine.
Yeah, I mean, presumably they're not keeping deadly secrets from each other or whatever. This is obviously an extreme, but yeah, there's definitely that tension, I think, that adds to it. So what is your next pick?
Okay, my next pick is, I picked a scene from Unfaithful, which is the 2002 Adrian Lynn film with Diane Lane and Richard Gere. And I guess I should say, and I probably should have stated this up front, was I tried to think about, kind of different films, different scenes, and kind of sex as a totality, which is, you know, I thought why your question was good about, so do we want to count masturbation? And I would say yes. But I also think that I wanted to think about films that involved really hot sex where there was something lingering in the aftermath of sex. And I think that's why I really deeply appreciate the movie Unfaithful. It has some okay sex scenes, like they didn't rock my world. But throughout the film, the character that Diane Lane plays just is giddy in her recollection of this kind of extramarital affair that she's carrying on with this young, very attractive man. And there are a couple of places where you just, you know, she's in the bathtub and she, you know, her face lights up into this kind of sly grin and she, you know, runs her hand across her leg as she's remembering his touch. But the real classic scene that I like is, you know, she lives in, you know, I'm going to say somewhere in suburbia outside New York City. And she's taking the train back from spending an afternoon with this lover. And the range of emotions on her face is really quite something in terms she is giddy and excited. You can tell that she's can't even believe that she's done what she's done. And then her face kind of transforms into this mask of guilt because she realizes that, you know, she's, you know, stepped out of her marriage and cheated on her husband. And so in this one scene, there's this, I think, really fascinating glimpse into a range of emotions that somebody can have following, you know, hot sex, cheating sex, you know, sex with someone that you're not married to. And to me, that scene makes the movie really fascinating. And again, it's not a great movie necessarily, but I really appreciate the film for that.
Yeah. And Diane Lane is really impressive in that movie, mm-hmm. I think. The mm-hmm. the way that, like you said, that range of emotions, yeah. and she portrays all of it really, really, mm-hmm. really well.
Yeah.
My next pick is perhaps a cliched pick, Bound, the Wachowski brothers movie from 1996 with Jennifer Tilly and Gina Gershon as the lesbian lovers who decide to take out the mob functionary or whatever he is that that Jennifer Tilly's character is married to. And I think it's cliched because obviously the two hot straight actresses doing the lesbian scene obviously is a really pandering technique mm-hmm. that a lot of movies engage in. And it works a lot of the time, mm-hmm. I think. But it works even better in this movie, I think. I mean, first of all, because it doesn't seem just like pandering. Mm-hmm. I mean, the actresses really sell the attraction between these two characters on a romantic level as well as on a sexual level. And I think it seems, I wouldn't say that this is a realistic movie in any way, but it feels emotionally real, and it feels less like a male fantasy and more like two people who really are attracted to each other, mm-hmm. are in love. And I mean, obviously, yes, it's really mm-hmm. hot, and they're both two incredibly beautiful women, and that really helps. And I think one other thing, and I don't know, maybe I'm just sort of projecting something that's not there, but I think it's interesting to me that Larry Wachowski, who later on, many, many years later, came out as transgendered, and I look back on this movie and wonder if this is sort of a transgendered person sort of projecting himself in a way into this lesbian relationship. Yeah. And I could be totally, totally wrong about that.
Oh, I want to rewatch the film with that idea in mind to see, like, if I read it differently. I mean, that's a kind of interesting vantage point to view that film.
Yeah, and I don't know if it's really necessarily accurate. I think it's a great, you know, the scenes, there's like two scenes actually between them, one where they kind of get interrupted and later on when they're just on this sort of like bare mattress together, mm-hmm. and it's very raw. Mm-hmm. And those are both really great in and of themselves, but that extra level was something that I kind of thought about again looking at it, and maybe there's something mm-hmm. else there.
Yeah. Well, the other thing about that film that's interesting in regard to the kind of lesbian sex that's portrayed is they actually consulted with, you know, Susie Sexpert Bright,
right,
who is, you know, kind of lesbian sexpert who, you know, has written a lot of books. But she consulted on the film in order to, in a sense, choreograph the sex,
right,
and so that it might kind of represent lesbian sex on a more realistic register than,
right,
you know, some other films had done.
Right.
So that's a little factoid about that film.
And it seems to me that maybe they succeeded in that sense. Not that I've ever had any lesbian sex, but
yeah, I mean, it's an interesting film. I mean, I appreciate that film, you know, in part because it really was, like, it kind of marked a moment in time in kind of lesbian cinema or lesbian film. You know, it was right, you know, at the vanguard of a couple of films coming out, and it was very much in that moment of lesbian chic in the culture. You know, just a few years after, I think it was just a few years after Cindy Crawford and Katie Lang were on the cover of Vanity Fair. So just like kind of marks a historical moment in kind of lesbian visibility in particular in pop culture.
Right.
Which I think is, you know, in and of itself, regardless of the sex, a reason to appreciate that film.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. So what are we up to, number two?
We are up
All right.
to number two. Okay. I am going with A History of Violence, 2005 film by David Cronenberg. And the film that, again, a lot of people mention the scene that a lot of people mention when they reference that film is this scene that takes place towards the end of the film on the stairs, and it's kind of rough and violent, and you feel, you know, that switch between kind of, you know, anger into kind of desire and passion. But the scene that I really, really like in that film comes early in the film, and it's a scene where Maria Bello, plays, dresses up in a cheerleading outfit, and she and her husband, played by Viggo Mortensen, have some time alone. The kids are out, and they're going to have some fun. And I'll tell you, the scene from start to finish is really great, because she's in the bathroom. You see him taking kids' toys off the bed. He's like a nervous teenager. He turns down the corner of the covers. He sits on the bed to wait for his, you know, sexy wife to come out of the bathroom. He doesn't really know what to expect. And then she comes out, and she's dressed in a cheerleading outfit, and she kind of swishes her skirt and shows him her panties. And it's really super duper sexy, but really playful and fun. And, you know, you don't see a lot of, I would argue, really, really memorable sex between married couples on film, let alone playful, memorable sex that's also hot.
Right.
You know, and so, and then the scene kind of, you know, turns from playful to passionate, and, you know, all sorts of, you know, fun things happen. But I just think it really works. And, you know, they're two really fantastic actors. Clearly they have a chemistry between them, but she's smoking hot. I mean, she just looks great too. Not every, you know, actress is going to be able to make a scene like that work
right.
in the way that she really makes it work.
Yeah, and it's sort of a calm before the storm scene in that movie where a lot of bad stuff happens mm-hmm. afterwards, and this is their nice moment that they get to have before that.
Yeah, and for viewers, you get to see a moment of what you know you should read as kind of general love and affection and connection between, you know, before the shit hits the fan, which most of the movie, you know,
right.
kind of deals with.
Right. And David Cronenberg, that's two picks from
yeah.
him. He's clearly got something, you know, knows how to do something right with these kind of scenes.
I agree.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So my next pick, okay, and now speaking of hot straight actresses hooking up for prurient purposes, my next pick is Wild Things from 1998 by John McNaughton, which I would argue, like Original Sin, is a really, really super entertaining movie because it is so ridiculous and so overheated, but it's really funny, it's campy, it's got great performances from Bill Murray and Kevin Bacon, who are not in this scene, and Matt Dillon and Neve Campbell and Denise Richards, who are all in this sort of threesome towards mm-hmm. the beginning of the movie. And obviously, it's playing off this sort of titillation. But I think what's great about it is that it's a very knowing play on that kind of titillation. And the way the story goes is that we've sort of just learned the secret ways that some of these characters have manipulated situations, and we didn't realize that they were connected to each other in this way. And they're finally all in this room together, happy that their scheme has been pulled off, which of course it really hasn't, as you learn later. And there's this weird, hesitant dynamic. And it's very, like you were saying about the cheerleader scene, it's very playful. Denise Richards is wearing this ridiculous kind of schoolgirl type outfit mm-hmm. with her like Mary Janes and her little fluffy socks. And it's so silly. And yet the actors are so believable within that moment that they sell it. And I think that for, in general, the movie goes like that, is that every moment that's totally silly is totally serious in the sense mm-hmm. of the actors are completely committed to it.
Mm-hmm.
And so you can enjoy this movie on the sort of base, hot people making mm-hmm. out kind of, you know, pouring champagne on Denise Richards' breasts. I mean, just all sorts of stuff. And yet there are little looks between the characters and things like that that tell you how they view each other that are ways that will come up later in the movie in non-sex scenes.
Mm-hmm.
And I like that it's
mm-hmm.
not, it's using its ridiculousness to sort of serve a story purpose later on.
Mm-hmm.
I like that about it.
Yeah. No, that's interesting. We're
down to number one.
Okay. I'm going to go with Secretary.
Mm-hmm.
I love that film. I loved it the first time I saw it. I loved it the second time I saw it. I think it's a super interesting film that's really well done. It's from 2002. It stars Maggie Gyllenhaal and James Spader. So that's another film with
James Spader
in it that made, you know, our lists. But I would argue, I mean, to me, and again, this is kind of all subjective, but I really think it's one of the sexiest dynamics between two people that I have ever witnessed on film. And what makes the film really interesting too is, you know, that sexy dynamic comes from this dominant, submissive power dynamic that they have. It's not that they're, you know, having sex, you know, in every corner of the office space. He's her boss and she's a secretary. But they are kind of, they come together and become bound through, you know, this dominant submission dynamic and role. And the way that they play some of these scenes and the dynamic between them as you know, characters is, I mean, you can cut it with a knife. It's so thick and it's so interesting, but it's also really nuanced. So the scene from that film, I mean, there's many that I really love, but he criticizes her and reprimands her for her typos. And so she makes a typo, and at one point, you know, he calls her into the office and he said, you know, turn around, elbows on the desk, bend over, get your face close to the letter and read it out loud. And she looks at him, says, what do you want me to do? And he repeats it and she does it. And as she's reading the letter, very slowly and deliberately, he starts to spank her ass. And it is just, you see the sensations register on her face. She's trying to figure out what's happening, but she's clearly excited and intrigued and aroused, and the same thing is happening with him. And then she finishes reading the letter the second time, and he bends over, puts his face next to her cheek, and takes his thumb and just brushes her hand. And the whole scene is just evocative and sexy. And so that's the scene I'm going to go with.
Yeah. One. And I think that's interesting because, and I like that movie a lot too. And I would think that for a lot of people, again, like we were talking about, is the masturbation scene a sex scene? And I think for a lot of people, they would say, well, that's not really a sex scene because they're not having sex. Mm-hmm. I mean, they're clothed, mm-hmm. and there's no genital on genital action going on or whatever. And there's a scene, I think, later. I mean, it's been a while since I've seen that film, but I think later at the sort of culmination of their relationship where they do have more conventional
yes.
sex. But I mean, I think you're absolutely right that act for yeah. those characters, at least, is totally a sex act.
Yeah.
And that is a sex scene.
Yeah, I mean, I think we can read it like that. I mean, I also, you know, understand and appreciate the argument about, you know, kind of S&M play not being kind of sex per se. And you know, I think, you know, some people really make that rigid distinction. But I think the way I approach this, as you can tell from my list and some of the scenes that I pointed to, is I kind of wanted a broad definition, which worked for me. So, you know, I think we could certainly debate the degree to which that counts as a sex scene, but it's highly sexualized.
Right.
So I guess, you know, I would make the argument, yeah, maybe not sex scene in conventional sense, but it's so hyper-sexualized and stylized and oozing with this, you know, sexy hot dynamic that, you know, I can't take my eyes off of when I watch it.
Right. And I mean, and I don't disagree. I think
yeah.
you're right that can absolutely be a sex scene. And there's things, you know, if you look back at older movies when they couldn't depict sex, and there's things that are not sex acts really in any way, but that are coded as sex scenes.
Right.
And I think, you know, things like that could count too.
Right.
So my last pick, and I think this would probably be, if I were to rank, this would be the top pick. And this is probably actually the most conventional sexual relationship that I've listed on here. It's from Out of Sight, Steven Soderbergh's film from 1998 with Jennifer Lopez and George Clooney. And it's a great scene. She plays this U.S. Marshal and he's a bank robber and she's after him. And they've got this obvious tension and attraction between them. And they sort of meet up in this hotel bar. And they have a moment, what they refer to in the movie as a sort of a timeout, where they're not chasing each other. They just have this dynamic, and it plays out really slowly and really sort of sensuously. And in the movie, the scene starts with Jennifer Lopez's character getting hit on by these obnoxious guys who she shoots down, and Clooney walks up, and immediately it's like, you can tell the connection is there, and it's so strong, and they have this wonderful dynamic. And about halfway through the scene, as they're talking in this somewhat coded way about their relationship, Soderbergh cuts to later on in the hotel room where they're getting undressed and about to have sex, and he cuts back and forth between the pre-conversation and the sex later, which is something that Don't Look Now does, which is a very, very famous sex scene from the 1970s with Donald Sutherland and Julie Christie, which is a little more menacing and dangerous. And this is just, it's so sensuous and it's so loving in a way. And the performances, this is Jennifer Lopez's by far best performance that she ever gave. And
I'm happy to hear that.
They're so connected, I think, these characters, and it just comes across really well, and it's so tender and nice, but I mean that makes it but hot as well. And the way that Soderbergh cuts it, the music, the dialogue, all of it just adds up to being this just really enveloping experience, which I like about it.
Yeah.
And now I guess that's time for the afterglow. So, yeah, check those out, you know, rent those. All interesting movies to see, aside from just sex scenes, I think. Yeah, so my thanks to Lynn Camella for joining
me. My pleasure. Thanks for inviting me. It was fun.
Absolutely. And for Las Vegas Weekly, I'm Josh Bell.
Josh Bell hates everything.
That's right.